Every 3 years, the Federal Reserve puts out this extremely rich data set called the Survey of Consumer Finances, where they touch on everything from how much debt people have to how much stocks they own, how they feel about being approved for loans. It's like Christmas every time it's released.
This episode is brought to you by Nadex, the Binary Options Exchange. Binary Options let you limit your risk and trade stock indices, commodities, forex, and more from a single account. Nadex is a CFTC-regulated exchange with transparency, free market data, and fairness guaranteed. The future of trading is here now at nadex.com. Futures, options, and swaps trading involves risk and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Welcome back to Bloomberg Benchmark, a podcast about the global economy. It is Thursday, January 21st. I'm Tori Stilwell, an economics reporter with Bloomberg News in D.C., and I'm joined by my co-host Aki Ito in Tokyo. Hello.
Hey, Tori. How's it going?
Pretty good.
What's new?
Not too much on my end. We are supposed to get like double-digit inches of snow this weekend, so that should be very exciting. Yeah.
Got a little bit of snow over the past few days in Tokyo too. Everything shut down.
Yeah, it's kind of what happens in DC.
There's like maybe a centimeter of snow, and like all the flights got canceled. All the trains are delayed. It was pretty miserable. You know, we have a very special episode today, don't we, Tori?
We do. We have been working on a pretty big story for a while now, and it will be available to our readers on Bloomberg.com and the terminal by the time this podcast reaches our listeners. I'm so excited for this to finally be out, Aki.
I know. It's been a long labor of love. Do you want to tell everyone what it's about?
Absolutely. A few months back, after reading some research from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, Aki and I wondered whether it would be possible to tell everyone in America their odds of being a millionaire, not only at their current age, but also in future stages of life. So we asked the St. Louis Fed, and they very kindly agreed to help us out. Every 3 years, the Federal Reserve puts out this extremely rich data set called the Survey of Consumer Finances, where they touch on everything from how much debt people have to how much stocks they own, how they feel about being approved for loans. It's like Christmas every time it's released. It is like nerd Christmas, right, Aki? I would say that's an appropriate characterization.
Absolutely. And the Fed makes all of this data available to the public, and some of it is pretty easy to find. But the data that we had the St. Louis Fed calculate for us is pretty complicated. You need a very advanced level of knowledge of statistics and also statistical software to be able to actually manipulate this. So it was really great that we had some extra help on this.
Absolutely. So the last survey of consumer finances came out in 2014, and it covered the 3 years prior. And it has to tide us over until 2017. But there's plenty of data to be mined, just like Aki said, and that's what the St. Louis Fed economists used to create this wealth analysis for us. So they were able to calculate the probability of someone having a net worth of $1 million or more, looking at the variables of race, age, and education. It is really amazing.
Yeah, your odds of being a millionaire are really different depending on how old you are, or, you know, what your race is, or how much schooling you got. And by combining all those different factors, we have this incredibly rich and rare data set available to us, kind of give us a really nice snapshot of where we are in American society right now. I guess it's Tori, it's really hard to do this story justice without the visuals of the charts created by our colleague Chloe Whitaker. So if any of our listeners right now haven't seen our very beautiful story on Bloomberg.com or the terminal yet, it really might be worth pausing the show right now and pulling up the graphics as we walk through some of the main points. Or, you know, at least take a look at the story after the show.
Definitely. Okay, so let's go over the main findings of the story and the analysis. But first, let's welcome the economists who calculated this data for us, Bill Emmons and Brian Noeth, who are both economists at the St. Louis Fed Center for Household Financial Stability. The two of them, along with their colleague, Lowell Ricketts, did all the heavy lifting for us with this data. So thank you all so much, and thanks for joining us.
Very welcome.
Let's look at the first big point here, which is that there are huge racial differences across the board. So if you're looking at the story in print form on the web, this is our first chart. The big takeaway here, if we're looking at statistics, you guys found that about 20% or so of Asians and whites who are middle-aged and college-educated are millionaires. And that compares with about 7% of Hispanics and about 6% of Blacks with those same characteristics, so middle-aged, college-educated. What is really the big takeaway here with regards to race and wealth?
I think the most surprising thing is that education doesn't appear to level the playing field. We and a lot of other people probably thought that people of any race— and maybe the same age, if you're carefully thinking about this, that the same level of education should probably translate into roughly the same wealth. And we found that wasn't true.
Yeah, and I think the statistics, Tori, that you just cited, these are people who are of the same age and have the same level of schooling, and the only thing different is really race. So, you know, a lot of times when we talk about these racial differences, the data is just so broad that we're like, well, you know, maybe it's just that these people in minority racial groups are just younger, or maybe it's that they haven't gotten enough schooling or something like that. But there are really no excuses you can make when you look at this specific data.
That's right.
That brings us nicely to our second point, which is the role education plays in wealth. And I think you can broadly make the statement that education helps with your odds of accumulating wealth and being a millionaire, but the degree to which those odds are improved is drastically different for whites and Asians compared to Blacks and Hispanics. You know, stripping out age, just looking at the link with race and education, a white person with less than a high school degree has just under a 2% chance of being a millionaire. And that climbs to 37% if they get a graduate degree, whereas for a Hispanic, those very same odds go from a less than 1% chance to a 10% chance. And it's a pretty similar story for Blacks as well. It's just such a big difference there in what education can do.
Yeah, a couple of points. Certainly, higher levels of education are no guarantee, even though people with a lot of education— many people do have a lot of wealth, but also a lot of people with a lot of education don't. We're just talking about the probabilities here. Another point that I think is interesting, kind of surprised us when we got into these numbers, was just how wealth increases at an increasing pace, if you will, or what economists would call nonlinear. So the step up going from less than a high school degree to a high school diploma is noticeable but not very large, and then stepping up to college, 2 or 4 year college degree, you notice it's significantly bigger jumps, and then going up to postgraduate, it's much, much bigger. So in other words, it's kind of like it shapes out a curve that is shooting up as you get to higher levels of education. So there's almost extra payoffs, it seems, with those extra levels of education. And then as you were saying, even though those basic points are true across all racial and ethnic groups, it does look like these curves are different. You know, they're sort of at different levels. So even though the basic dynamics are there, we still see these racial and ethnic differences.
Right. And I guess the third point that we make in our story is that along with education, everyone's odds generally get better as they age. So the older you are, typically the greater your chances of having become a millionaire. But this age effect is really different depending on your race too. So
right.
White people and Asian people, they top out at about 20% chance if you are stripping out the effect of education. But Blacks and Hispanics, that's closer to 2%. So gosh, that's a gigantic difference there too.
Right. again, several things going on probably. You know, one is simply having had more time to save means that older people will generally have accumulated more wealth. Going along with that is the miracle of compound interest. So the returns on having accumulated wealth really add up over time. Another factor is that it sounds counterintuitive, but it's people in their 50s, 60s, 70s who are more likely to be receiving inheritances. And so families or groups of families that tend to have wealth passed down through the generations, that's really going to show up in what we're capturing in the 60, 62 and up category.
And one thing I want to add is that along this age dimension, these are actually different generations. So going forward, this pattern might not hold. Perhaps certain groups will actually see their probability increase over time, and perhaps it's a generational effect that's causing what I would call a hump in the fraction of millionaires along the age distribution.
So. Right. One more thing I would throw in is that there's probably some survivorship bias, and we can't really quantify that very well. You would need a sophisticated model to try to estimate this, but the basic point is that people who are able to take, or you know, maybe able to, they've succeeded in the job market, and we know that there are correlations between wealth and health, for example. So people who are healthier are typically wealthier, and people who are healthier tend to live longer. And so part of what we're seeing in the old groups are people who were generally healthy throughout their lifespans, tended to have lower medical costs, tended to live longer, which gave them more chance to accumulate wealth and allow that compounding to occur. And that's one of the reasons that we like to break off that older category at somewhere in the 60s, because especially if you start looking at groups, you know, in their 80s, people in their 90s or even older, that's kind of an unusual group, because we know that they're systematically, as I say, they were tended to be healthier, they tended to have more education, they tended to be different than other groups.
And we're looking at net worth here, right?
Yes.
So when we're thinking of millionaires, it's not just people who have $1 million in their bank account, but also, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. This is the net worth.
That's right.
Great. Let's actually take a quick break. We'll take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back to analyze some of these big overarching trends and themes that this analysis have shown, which are really interesting. Stay with us after the break.
What do traders want? To limit risk, access every opportunity, and trade on a level playing field. Nadex Binary Options lets you set your maximum profit and loss before the trade, so your risk is always limited. Find opportunities in multiple markets, stock indices, commodities, forex, even economic numbers and Bitcoin, all from one account and platform. Nadex is a CFTC-regulated exchange with transparency, free market data, and fairness guaranteed. Innovations the financial industry needs, and Nadex already has. That's why we think binary options are the future of trading. And it's here now at nadex.com. Futures, options, and swaps trading involves risk and may not be appropriate for all investors.
It seems like we are seeing a theme here, and the odds for white people and Asians are almost universally better than for Hispanic people and Black people, no matter what sort of combination of age and education you look at. Why is that?
That's one of the things we're struggling with to understand. I think some of the ideas that people have suggested include the impacts of very early experiences. Black and Hispanic children, more often than white and Asian children in the United States, grow up in disadvantaged backgrounds. So there is a lot of evidence that Black and Latino children enter school with some deficits in terms of readiness for school, and those deficits persist, and under, you know, some measures it looks like they even increase throughout schooling. And so that could point to maybe differences in school quality. It appears that there are a lot of, you know, fairly significant, long-lasting factors that maybe compound over time. And so, we also know there are differences in the college experience across race and ethnicity. And it's unfortunate, but there is evidence that there continues to be some discrimination in the job market. And the famous examples of sending out otherwise identical resumes under different names.
Exactly. We mentioned this in our story.
Yes. So there is some evidence that that continues to exist.
I think a good exercise might be for us to discuss our own probabilities, to just put a little bit more of a human face on all these numbers that we read out. So personally, I'm biracial. I'm half white, half black. But given that our race options are white, black, Hispanic, and Asian, I'll just select black for our exercise. I am younger than 40, and I have a bachelor's degree. So Bill and Brian, your analysis, in the sample that you analyzed, there were 69 people who met this description, 69 heads of households. Not a single one of them were millionaires. We could say that that's a 0% chance, but we have to think that this is, you know, keep in mind that this is a small sample, and, you know, they're may be someone like that in the U.S. But that's a pretty accurate reading. 0% chance is probably accurate for me because I'm nowhere close to having that much wealth. And it makes sense because I'm young and I haven't had time to accumulate that. But it also sounds a little depressing. Aki, what's yours? Our only difference should be race, right?
That's right. So I am also younger than 40, and I also have a bachelor's degree. However, I am Asian. So my chances are about 5%. You know, so it's not like astronomically higher, but it's certainly better than 0%.
And we thought what was interesting was then to allow you to look forward and say, if you don't change your educational status, what would you expect when you're middle-aged and older?
Definitely.
And I thought it was really interesting that there was one group that saw the best probability for being a millionaire, which was also the only group that had a probability of more than 50%, where there were enough families in the sample to actually produce a reliable estimate. And these were white people who were 62 years old or older who had a graduate degree, and their probability was 52%, which I guess makes a lot of sense since, you know, these people have all three things going for them: age, education, and race. So the way to maybe think about it is the next time you meet an old white person with an advanced degree, you'll know that it's slightly more likely than not that they're a millionaire.
Right. I think also the Asian, older Asian Americans with postgraduate degrees also are in that ballpark. You know, another way to think about that is that, say it's 50% odds for a white family in that category. In a sense, that's nothing special to have achieved that because most of your, or at least half of your peer group has done that. And, you know, I think we often, certainly people who achieve some success would like, you know, it's just a psychological and naturally thing to do, is you think, well, I'm responsible for that. But one of the things that this whole research project is getting at is, well, there's a lot of, if you will, headwinds and tailwinds associated with, you know, who your parents were. As Brian mentioned, when you were born makes a difference. All the sorts of things that go into making you able to achieve a certain level of education. And certainly we're not saying that there's no role for individual effort or that people do, of course, control much about their economic and financial lives. But these numbers, you know, as you're pointing out, Aki, are just make it I think, more clear that, as you said, you some people hit the trifecta. You know, they get everything going for them. And conversely, there are families or individuals who, based on these demographic and socioeconomic factors, have nothing going for them other than their individual effort.
And I wanted to go back to tracking our percentages in the future. So looking forward, I'm under 40 right now. If we move to the middle age category and I keep my bachelor's degree, I have a 6.4% chance as a Black American of being a millionaire. And then as I move into the old category, 62 and older, still with a bachelor's degree, something interesting happens. There doesn't look like there was enough data to calculate a reliable estimate for that. What goes on there? Why is that happening? Because this happens in some other data sets too, with some other permutations of the data. There just aren't enough estimates to produce a reliable probability for
everyone. I think you had alluded to it before, but this is actually survey data. This comes from the Survey of Consumer Finances. It's a triennial survey that asks about 6,000 families. I will say the unit of analysis here is the family. So we're asking kind of the pool that the family has. But say for example, you know, in prior generations, African Americans did not, you know, were primarily excluded from a lot of higher education. So it makes sense that we'd see that this older category would, you know, have very few observations for that group, that older group with bachelor's or graduate degrees. So it's tough to draw inference on these probabilities using that limited data.
Yeah.
Right. And Tori, how do my chances improve?
Okay. So for an Asian with a bachelor's degree in middle age, you are at roughly 22%.
Oh my God, that's a big jump.
Yes, very big jump. And bachelor's degree Asian old group, 62 and older, we again have the threshold problem, not enough households in the sample to produce a reliable estimate, but it is still, what we do see is pretty high. We would need more data to be more conclusive. But already that big jump from young to middle age is pretty remarkable.
Wow. Well, I look forward to aging, I guess.
Well, Bill, Brian, thank you so much for joining us, and first and foremost for doing all this data crunching for us. It's just a really interesting data set, and I hope our readers and listeners enjoy it as much as we do.
Thanks very much, Tori and Aki.
And thanks to you all for listening to Bloomberg Benchmark. We will be back next week. And until then, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal on Bloomberg.com, as well as on iTunes, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, Google Play. And while you're there, please take a minute to rate and review the show so more listeners can find us.
Feel free to tweet at Tori and me, and we'll do our best to actually send you your specific probability for being a millionaire if you include your demographic traits of your age and your race and your maximum level of schooling. You can talk to us and follow us at AkiIto7, at Tori Stillwell. See you next week.
We're proud of our new and growing suite of original podcasts, all designed to help you navigate the complexities of business, financial markets, and the global economy. In addition to Bloomberg Benchmark, which you're listening to now, don't miss Oddlots, a deep dive into the intersection of markets, economics, and finance with Joe Weisenthal and Tracy Alloway. There's also Deal of the Week with our mergers and acquisitions reporter Alex Sherman, looking at a breakdown of the biggest deals and giving you an inside peek into corporate boardrooms. All three shows are available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Pocket Casts for Android, Bloomberg.com, and of course, the Bloomberg Terminal. Check them out and subscribe today.
This episode was brought to you by Nadex. You know, any long-term investment is going to go through short-term dips and price fluctuations. Nadex binary options let you turn those short-term movements into trading opportunities. You decide your maximum profit and loss before each trade, so your risk is always limited. Trade stock indices, commodities, Forex, even Bitcoin and economic numbers, all from one account on a CFTC-regulated U.S. exchange. Instead of just watching the market's ups and downs, turn them into trading opportunities at Nadex.com. It's the future of trading, Nadex.com. Futures, options, and swaps trading involves risk and may not be appropriate for all investors.